Welcome to Postcast. David Locke along with Ron Boone. As always, Ben DuBose, the host of Locked On Rockets, joins us on a night in which James Harden was as good as anyone has ever been, arguably, in NBA history offensively. The numbers are right up there. The only player to ever score more points on 25 shot attempts is Michael Jordan when he scored 58. Calvin Murphy's the only Rocket to ever score more with 57. Before Harden missed his last three shots, only Willie Burton had ever scored 50 points in 20 or fewer shots.
Well, there's a name from the past.
Willie Burton has never been mentioned in NBA circles until tonight. Obviously, Wilt Chamberlain has his nights, but then Ben found the, with a little help, he got a final exam. He earned his money tonight. The most incredible note of the night is that James Harden directly contributed to 91 points tonight. 9 of the 13 assists he had were three-pointers. Ron, you have been in this league for 50 years, and the two nice ladies who just met you are trying to figure that out because they think you're like 60 years old, and you're not. And so the answer is, of all, you've seen a lot of performance. You were there when Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf went off for 50 in the Delta Center. Carl answered with 50 the next night. You saw Kobe 60. Ray Allen had an incredible night. We both saw with 50-something. Where's this one rank? And then go back to some of your Rick Barry and other nights you saw. Where does this one rank in the nights you've ever seen?
All of those games rank very, very high. All of those games are memorable. And the reason they are is because you enjoy good basketball. You enjoy watching guys when they get hot, and it just makes it fun to watch. Sure, Kobe's 60-point night, I mean, it meant nothing. But he went off for 60, and that was his going-away party to score 60 points. That was fun to watch. I've been on the opposite side of Rick Barry scoring in 50. And I think I was guarding him most of the time. But, you know, that it's just fun to watch when someone is that hot and you can just, as an ex-player, put yourself in those shoes. It's like, you know, everything you threw up his thing is going in the basket.
As a player, did he know when he came in the arena tonight? Did it just happen?
I don't think so. No, you really don't. But you feel it out there on the floor. And what we have, 22 in the first quarter, yep. 4 3-point shots. And he knew he had things going. He knew what was guarding him, and he knew that, okay, I can beat whoever's guarding me certain ways. And he just flat out got it done. If you've got that three-point shot falling, man, that's such a tremendous asset, because now I can take you off the dribble when I get ready. I can use screens. And he's never in a hurry. He has a tempo, a pace of his game where he just – all of a sudden, he can explode by you and get a layup, or he can just step back and knock down a three. I mean, you just don't know how to defend him.
The thing that really floored me about it, and I'd love to get y'all's takes, since y'all follow Jazz on a regular basis, but I'm discounting the last three shots he missed in the fourth quarter because he was pretty clearly out of gas by that point. He stayed in. He usually rests the start of the second, start of the fourth quarters, and they kept him in trying to break Calvin Murphy's record. Came out 1 point short. Rockets franchise record is 57 points. Finished 56. But 19 of 22 through the first three quarters, and that included, he was 7-8 from behind the arc, but he was 12 of 14 from inside the arc. And what really impressed me the most about this, he had success attacking the rim against Rudy Gobert. That is really hard to do.
Well, go back to, I mean, the numbers have to even out. He missed his first 20 shots of the season in the paint non-restricted area. He went 0 for 20 to start the year. Those were the shots he started the night making. Ben, on the broadcast, I kind of said to you, like, the Jazz are getting the shots they want out of the Rockets.
He just made them. And the other thing that sticks out amongst Rockets fans, the two games I've seen as far as the quintessential Harden games, there's this one, and there's a game on New Year's Eve last year. He had 53, 17, and 16 against the Knicks. Just a ridiculous overall stat line. And, you know, of course, he had the rebound, so it's the nice round triple-double, which everybody loves. Russell Westbrook. But
Rocket fans are still bitter about.
just a little bit. But, no, seriously, the difference in that, that was against the Knicks. This is against Rudy Gobert. That's what kind of, to me, makes this one even better, is that not only you have this line, you had success driving to the rim against, what, the Jazz enter tonight, third best in the league in defense, right?
So let me ask.
This is what it looks like. It looks like he's not working very hard when he gets it done. And yeah. Before you go into, you know, some of your numbers here, let me pass along something else here. Years ago, there was a Calvin Murphy had the most consecutive free throws made by an NBA player. And I'm trying to remember the guy's name that was approaching it. And I think it may have been Michael Adams or someone like that. I really can't remember. But the joke was that Calvin Murphy didn't want him to make it, and he had this voodoo doll that he was sticking pins in.
Well,
to keep me from breaking the record. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you saw it. There's a great shot from Julian Morales, the Rockets sideline reporter of Calvin tonight, because he's doing pre and post game, and he was looking very anxious. And it was at 56 minutes, hanging out over.
He was taking parts of his sleeve. I saw him moving his jacket in a way to try to put a glare off the sequins on his jacket into James Harden's eyes, so that he'd miss the final shot. So there is a chance that Calvin, with a jacket that that he displayed on the pregame show, on our Facebook Live before the game, may have actually done that. So you went toward it a little bit, but let me ask you from a Rockets perspective, is this the best you've ever seen from him?
I think so, when you adjust for the opponent. I've never seen him that efficient, that smooth. And the thing that I keep going back to with this, if it was a normal game, I really think he breaks 60. Because what ended up happening in this one, because the margin actually is what saved Calvin's record. Because what ended up happening, he's at 56 and 13, pretty much at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So rather than the usual substitution pattern where you rest him for 6 minutes, then he comes in for that final 6 minute closing kick, instead what happened, they were trying to get him the record and he ran out of gas because he never got the break. And of course they weren't going to bring him back with a 25 plus point lead in the last 6 minutes, because that's just not what you do.
And I was surprised that at that time it was four of the five starters that was on the floor with him.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of smart of D'Antoni, because that would make it a little bit easier, I think, for him to get it if possible.
But if this were a normal game, I think he gets to 60. I really do. If it's a normal substitution pattern, when you look at that level of efficiency, he basically had 56 points, 91 accounted for in three quarters. Because, the three minutes played in the fourth, he basically wasn't really much of an impact, because you could tell he was gassed. It's early in the year. What is it? It's November 5th. And, he's not conditioned to play an entire half at this point. But when you adjust for that, just an incredible night.
Klay had 52 in that incredible shooting night against Sacramento when he had the huge quarter. And then
the
37 point quarter. And Steve Kerr didn't play him in the fourth. I'm remembering some conversations of where that ranked of all-time amount of points that you ever had in three quarters. So this is one of the great first three quarters scoring outputs in the history of the league.
He had 50, what?
56, 54, 50. Well, they missed that bucket, remember? So I think he had 52 or 54, depending on how they looked at it, and then they fixed it. And then he scored one more field goal. Well, let me ask you one last question on this, Ron.
He had one layup at the beginning of the fourth. I think he had 54 through three, and then the last two, first possession of the fourth, and then after that's when he seemed to run out of gas.
Did the Jazz do anything wrong in this regard? Was there something wrong with the way the Jazz played?
Yeah, I don't. Quinn's going to look at this and say we should have done this. But I don't think there's anything different they could have done. And I was telling Boulder on TV that if I was Quinn, and I wouldn't even show this film. I'd work on something different for the next game. Let me back that up. When we get ready to play them the next game, that's when I would bring the film out. I wouldn't even I'd go in the locker room, get dressed, let's go home. I wouldn't talk about this game at all, because there was nothing they could do about it.
Last question for me, and this is for either one of you guys. David, you talked about on the broadcast, James Harden is 99.9% of the story. The other 0.1, I would say, Eric Gordon, actually didn't even score in the first quarter, ended up with 20, very efficient, 6 of 11 from 3, all that stuff. David, the one question you raised, and it's a fair one, what happens when Chris Paul comes back and Eric Gordon goes from the number 2 to the number 3, and more than that, goes from the guy who's the clear number 1 when Harden isn't in the game to the number 2 at all times? What's your thought on that? How do they integrate Eric Gordon and Chris Paul once Chris eventually returns?
You mean how do you integrate Chris
or
Paul?
Well, that's another
one. Obviously Chris Paul is an all-star, and maybe down the line he's a Hall of Famer somewhere, but I don't know. Gordon goes back to the bench, and the reason I like that is that he's a threat to come up with big numbers. And I love guys that can come off the bench for any team that is a threat, and he's a part of the scouting report. Now, he can still get the minutes. If they're using a three-guard rotation, he can still get 30 minutes a game, with that. Because I did read an article where they said they like Gordon because in the lineup, because they can switch all over the floor a lot of times. And he's a player that, can put points on the board.
I think you changed the dynamic of the conversation. The question is no longer how Chris Paul integrates with James Harden, because this is James Harden's team and he needs the ball. It's how Chris Paul integrates with Eric Gordon. Mm. And that is probably the bigger question, though. Chris Paul has made plenty of shooting guards into decent J.J. Redick and others into pretty good players.
Very true.
Skill set to Eric Gordon. So that probably
good year over there with Philadelphia, isn't he?
That wraps up Postcast tonight. Historic night here in Houston. Jazz on the wrong side of it, but it was pretty awesome. That wraps us up on the Jazz Radio Network.